5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the PIO Podcast, a place to discuss all public information related topics for police, fire, EMS, and local and federal government organizations.
It was a good learning experience for a lot of us that social media is not real life.
But we have to remember the media are very rarely a target audience. They're simply that conduit.
Our words have impacts on individuals, and it may not be positive. So just being thoughtful and mindful of the words that we speak.
I think what's so interesting about this position too, and this job and this profession, is that every one of us is looking for purpose. And when we find it here, that's it.
To know is that a crisis for one is not necessarily a crisis for another.
This episode is sponsored by the Social Media Strategy Summit, the leading provider of social media education. They host annual events designed specifically for government communications professionals like you to help you build and engage your communities through social media. Visit their website at socialmediastrategiesummit.com to learn more and use promo code PIOPODCAST for 10% off of your registration.
Today on the PIO Podcast, we have Nicole Schott. Nicole is the Public Information Director for FEMA's Public Information Officer Training Program. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. I am Nicole Schutz, and I am the Program Manager for the Public Information
Program Manager.
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
I'm so sorry about that. Let's talk about what you do. So before we jump into every other questions, you have one of those amazing jobs that you get to do and teach people public information, and you manage this great training program for FEMA at the Emergency Management Institute. Tell our listeners about your background.
Sure, absolutely. So I've been with FEMA for about 12 years. I am a training specialist under the Emergency Management Professional Program, or the branch, and that is at the Emergency Management Institute in Emmitsburg, Maryland. I do manage the Public Information Officer Program, and that portfolio consists of the Advanced Public Information Officer course and training exercise, as well as the Master Public Information Officer Program. I inherited the program about 4 years ago, and as of today, I've successfully managed PIO training for about over 700 federal, local, state, tribal, and territorial public information officers across the country.
Now, that's amazing.
It's pretty awesome.
I mean, to think about the impact that you've had with the number of public information officers, and just to think about where the field has gone in the last, I want to say 20 years, but in the last 5 years, with just the sheer understanding of the importance of having a good public information officer.
Oh, absolutely. And obviously, I cannot take credit for all of that. I'm just simply the person that kind of facilitates it and makes it happen. But the instructors, they are the subject matter experts, and they are the one that are doing, I feel like, the most important
work. So let's talk about those instructors. How many people help deliver that program, and, you know, break it down, like in the basic PIO course, how many people do you bring in?
So if you're referring just to the instructors, there are usually two instructors for the basic course. And when we do the APIO course, because it is a full functional exercise, we do have five instructors. We have they all instruct curriculum. However, we also have the exercise. So they are evaluators. They are mentors to the students. We have, a control room where we have an exercise director and an EOC manager. We have a media person that does live interviews and things. So we have five total that takes to do that. We could use six. And sometimes we bring in like master public information officer students, past students, and have them play roles, or we bring other, you know, past instructors in if they're available, or even if there's a government entity or somebody there that can come, we have them visit. And then for the master public information officer program, we have three dedicated instructors for each cohort each year. So whichever three instructors start, they finish out the whole three courses, which we can talk about more later. They are mentors throughout the program.
As I've heard from many people that have been through the program, so outstanding. All right, so let's talk about how many programs or what's the variety of training programs that are offered through EMI that deal specifically with the public information officer function.
So as you know, like EMI is like the national focal point for emergency management training or development delivery of emergency management training. And we do offer training for all the mission areas, but specifically for our programs for the public information officer field, we have, as I said, the advanced public information officer course, which, well, I can start at the beginning or I can just tell you about the programs right now. So the programs right now is the Public Information Officer Program, which is pretty much consists of four different classes that you would build off of. And the ones that I am responsible for are the Advanced Public Information Officer Program and the Master Public Information Officer Program.
Okay. So these programs, what's the timeline on how long a course is? Because I know the advanced ones much longer than the basic.
So there is an end up. So the way you start, if you were going to go through our courses, you would start with what we call the Independent Study Course 29, and that is done online, and that is it's awareness. It's awareness courses for anybody that wants to know what a PIO does. That's good for supervisors, managers, and things like that. Then the next step would be your ELK 105 course, and that is the basic information officer, public information officer basic course. And that again is just the fundamentals. That's for new PIOs into the role, and it also has some emergency management curriculum in there as well. And then my course starts with the Advanced Public Information Officer course, which again, it is a lecture-based course interspersed with, well, we like to reverse it. We like to call it a full functional exercise interspersed with some lecture. And that is a 5-day course. And then if you want to move on to the next and final level that EMI offers, that is the Master Public Information Officer course. And that consists of three different courses throughout a 10-month span. And at the end of that program, the students are responsible for doing a capstone paper that will help to enhance the public information officer field. That's their way of giving back, contributing to the field. And that is placed in our library on campus for other PIOs to have available to them as a resource.
Excellent.
And it's 104 hours, the Master Public Information Officer.
Okay, so yeah, pretty extensive training over 10-month period.
It's very extensive.
Right. So what is...
Absolutely.
FEMA has all these courses. What's the cost to the agency or the individual? I kind of jumped ahead here, but training budgets are really tight for agencies. What does it cost to send somebody to one of these trainings?
So there's actually zero cost for the training itself. And when folks attend training at EMI, we do offer travel stipends for those that qualify. There are a couple stipulations for like federal employees can't get stipend reimbursement, private employees, contracted employees with the government, foreign organizations, things like that. And there's more details. And NETC runs that program. They oversee that. So any specific questions about stipends, you know, I usually refer them to NETC because I don't want to be responsible for giving any wrong information. But we do offer a travel stipend, which is amazing. So that means that, and we provide lodging on campus. We have a shuttle that transport you to and from the airport. Students are required to purchase a meal ticket, but that's also part of that stipend reimbursement program. So it's a pretty good deal to come to EMI.
So basically, it's almost free in reality, the way it kind of lays down.
Yes.
And in tight training budgets, that's awesome. Very awesome.
Yes. It's a really great opportunity for those that do have those tight training budgets. We do offer the APIO course across the country. We don't pay travel stipends for you to attend, like if you attend a state-hosted course.
Right, okay.
But the training is still free. The training itself is still
now
free.
Free is good. You know, every government agency loves free, right? Recently,
absolutely.
I observed a post on Twitter back in 2022 in which you talked about a new graduates to the Master PIO program, and you were making the comment that there are only 137 PIOs in the country with that designation.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just want to make it, I just want to clarify that we don't do designations and we don't have accreditation. Because EMI is not in the business of accrediting right. or anything, but we just, yes, I understand that we do give the Master Public Information Officer, I guess, title
right.
When they graduate from our program. So if they're a graduate of the program.
If the program's free and all that, why is the number so small? Why is it just like 137 or, you know, it might be more than that since 2022, but why such a small number?
Now, 137 is the total number as of right now, and that's because, you know, the Master Public Information Officer program is the best of the best. Applicants have to apply to get into the program. Their application is reviewed by a panel of PIO SMEs, subject matter experts. And they have to be selected to come into the program because we are not looking for quantity. We're looking for quality. And we want those that are going to make a difference in the public information officer world and that are going to, you know, give back to the profession, that are going to be leaders and, you know, help to get the seat at the leadership table. So that is why the number is so low. We currently have 19 more that are expected to graduate in September of this year. And we just opened up our application period for FY24, which will begin in December of this year, from April 1st to June 1st is the application period. So,
wow. All right. Well, that explains it. I mean, if you are really screening that heavily because you just don't want anybody in there, just because I have to say this, there are PIOs that just want to get certifications everywhere.
You know, absolutely.
And they think that somehow, I guess, makes them, you know, gives them cred, I guess. They actually have to do the work, right?
Absolutely. And I'm pretty strict. If you checked with, you know, current and past students of mine, I'm pretty strict. I really adhere to the standards of the program, and I take it very seriously, and I want to maintain the credibility of the program.
I think you said this already, but let's walk through it. So you take the IS-29 initially, right? And
yes.
Then you move up and you go, and obviously you probably have to have, what, the 100, 300, 400, 700, 800, and is it the 900 IS, the IS courses? Is that correct?
So your very first awareness is that IS-29 course, and that's the prerequisite to get you into that 105 basic
okay.
course. So then for the APIO course, those are two prerequisites. And then there are, I think, six other independent study courses that need to be completed to get into the APIO. And most people already have the like 100 and 200, which are your ICS mm-hmm. courses. The 7 and 800, you know, is the NIMS and the National Response Framework courses. Most people have those, especially if they're already in like an emergency management or some kind of law enforcement or anything like that position, first responder position. They have those courses. And then we have a couple other courses, like a social media independent study course. There is the IPAWS course. And there's one other ICS course that we require, unless they've taken like the ICS 300. But the 105 is the biggest one. And a lot of people, this is a newly developed, but we developed it in 2019. And we had two other courses that used to make up the 105 course. So it's really important that people understand that we no longer accept what used to be called the G290 and 291 basic courses, that they have to have the 105 course in order to meet the prerequisite for the APIO course.
Gotcha. Okay. That's great. So let's talk about the benefits of taking the courses through EMI.
Well, I think we pretty much already touched on the benefits, and that is the biggest benefit is that the training is free, and that if you qualify for the stipend reimbursement, then your travel is pretty much free, or you get reimbursed for that up to a certain amount. I don't want to say free, but a certain amount. And the other benefit is the networking aspect. So when these folks come here, and I offer a virtual class here and there, and I always encourage people, if you can get into a classroom environment, that's where you need to be, because that's where you're going to build those connections, and that's where you're going to get the best experience, especially for the advanced course, because that is that exercise. It's really hard to follow in a classroom setting. So to do it virtually has a whole nother set of challenges. And that network, you're building lifetime connections. And so I have people that when COVID hit, they immediately started calling their other MPIO students or APIO students on how to deal with something like this. So you are building those lifelong connections by getting in there, networking, in the classroom, in the cafeteria, in the pub, wherever. So,
and if I remember correctly, because there was a few people I know that have been through the course, the WhatsApp talk group that everybody is part of, or that gets used all the time.
Yeah. They build their own connections, as far as like they make their own Facebook groups. They'll have like one big group, or they'll have their specific classroom groups, or they'll have other groups. I know some of my MPIO students still get together monthly, even though they've already graduated. They still get together monthly and they talk about, things that are going on with their own agency and organizations and things like that. So, it's life, and not just professional relationships, but also personal relationships.
Mark Brady couldn't talk enough about you and what you do for EMI. The guy just has so much admiration for you. And
the feeling is definitely mutual.
Mark is just a great guy to know. And I was very lucky to connect with him years ago on social media. And, it's just great to, to meet somebody that is just in the trenches doing this on a daily basis.
He is amazing, and I call him Terry, forgive me. He is my work husband, and I guess he is with me all the time. And I'll tell you how he became who he is for me, and he's such a vital role in me being able to do what I do. I did my first very solo course in Alabama, and Mark was one of the instructors there, and he just went over and beyond, and he was just constantly wanting to help with everything. And he was so smart, and he was such a great instructor. And in my head, I was saying, yep, that's going to be my guy. That's going to be my go-to guy. And he surely is. And I can count on him for anything. So, and he is an amazing asset to the PIO.
I agree.
Profession.
And I think Mark has probably forgotten more PIO stuff than most people will ever know. I mean, in his lifetime.
Oh, absolutely.
He knows so much. Nicole, yes. is there a question I should have asked about PIO programs? And if there is, how would you have answered it?
I don't think so. I can't tell you. So I can tell you that I am not a PIO by trade. That's not more my subject matter expertise as training is. And I can just tell you, I have learned so much about the PIOs and the PIO's role by being in this program. And if you would ask me before what a PIO does, I would be like, oh, it's that person that stands in front of the camera and talks. And it couldn't be further from the truth. And I think, and I think I'm maybe jumping a little bit ahead, but I think the most important thing that people need to understand is it doesn't matter if you're in emergency management, it doesn't matter if you're a PIO, local, state, federal, tribal, government. Every single organization, agency, government needs not only a well-qualified, but a well-trained PIO. They have such a significant role. They are the folks that are communicating to your friends, your family, your loved ones. Like, they're giving them all the important information during emergencies, crisis, any situation that requires public information or communication, excuse me. They are the ones that are providing that information about situations, how to stay safe, what actions they need to take, you know, how they can help. It's just, I just can't talk about how vital the role is. And what's sad for me and the public is sometimes PIOs are the first to be cut from training, or they, or even just positions. And it just needs to be put out there how important this role is. These are the folks that are, you know, they're helping build trust and credibility for, you know, with the public. And they're the ones that are managing the public perception by communicating effectively and being transparent, which is critical for the public to earn trust. And if they feel like if they're well informed, then they're going to have a positive, you know, perception of the public. So send PIOs to training. Don't cut their training. They are the vital role, and they are ensuring what our famous line. And if you come to our training, you're going to hear it is they're ensuring that the right information gets to the right people at exactly the right time, so they can make right and informed decisions and possibly save lives. That's my soap.
Awesome. And Nicole, you couldn't have summed it up any better. I think it's such an interesting thing where management maybe thinks that the PIO does not necessarily need to be a specialized role. Anybody can do it. And it's not just anybody. You know, Katie Nelson from Mountain View PD, she sums it up really well. It's a profession. You have got to want to do this job. And you have to be passionate about it, because if you're not, you're not going to have that connection, whether you're speaking on a microphone to the public at a press conference, or you're speaking through social media, and you're not passionate about it, and you're not a staunch proponent of getting that right information to the right people at the right time to possibly save lives, then you're going to only jeopardize the image integrity and the safety of your community.
Absolutely. And just think, it might be your mom, it might be your brother, it might be, you know, it's your family, it's your loved ones. And that, you know, it's not just the public, it is the people that matter to you. So right. your dogs, your animals, your pets, you know, things like that.
I agree. All right, so we're going to jump into some rapid fire questions here. You ready?
Ready as I'm going to be.
Texting or talking?
Definitely texting. If everybody knows, if they call me, they're probably going to get voicemail. Definitely texting. Neither. I'm not a big fan of coffee or tea. Love the smell of coffee. Nowadays, it's mostly water. But if you would have asked Mark, I don't know, a month or so ago, he would say energy drinks all day long.
Okay. Adult drink of choice?
Vodka soda with vodka soda water. And then I use sugar-free flavoring.
To give it that little extra kick. Okay. You can have a superpower, which one would it be?
I haven't really thought about this, but I think I'd want to be a mind reader. I think so. I don't know. It's like, be careful what you ask for. I don't know. It would probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of equate mind reader or being invisible, because you could hear what people are saying. You know, I don't know.
I mean, you might hear something you don't want to hear. Yeah, that's true.
Maybe if I could wiggle my nose and dinner be ready, because I hate cooking. That's the superpower.
There you go. Ask permission or beg for forgiveness?
Definitely beg for forgiveness. I am a rebel.
PIO. That's a PIO. It really is. If you could have an energy drink with any historical figure, who would you choose?
So I don't know if I'm going to pronounce her name correctly, but it would be Catherine de' Medici. and I honestly don't know if I'm saying it correctly, but she was like a queen of France, and she like is attributed to the invention of high heels. And anyone who knows me knows how much I adore my high heels. And she wore them because she wanted to be taller. Okay. And make herself look more regal. And of course, that's the exact same reason I wear them. No, but it is because I'm short is why. But all kidding aside, because that was totally a joke. I mean, kind of. I do adore my high heels. But I when I thought about this, I thought about, you know, if I could go back and have coffee or vodka soda or an energy drink with anyone, it would definitely be Phil Politano. He is a historical figure in the PIO world, and he is the person who entrusted me with his baby, which is the PIO program. And first, he literally wrote the book on PIO. And, you know, he was just so dedicated to improving, you know, the field of public information. He trained more than like 1,500 PIOs across the country, which just showed his commitment to the profession. And he developed and designed the MPIO program. He was one of the master evil brains behind the design of the APIO exercise alongside his best friend, Tom Olshansky, who was former external affairs director for USFA. But anyways, he was an amazing leader. He was a great friend of mine and a coworker. And I would just love to sit with him one more time to talk about shoes. No, I'm just kidding. That was like an inside joke. That was like a joke between us because he says, it always comes back to shoes. But seriously, just to chat with him and, you know, absorb all of that historical knowledge and information expertise that he left when he did. And just try to gain his approval and validation, I don't know, about the vision of the program or that I'm carrying out the vision of his program and just simply talk with him. You know, he used to talk about his Goldens and Carol and his RV trips, just things like that, just to hear his big old baritone voice again. Because, you know, the PI program is his legacy, and it's my mission to continue that for him and just try to
make
him
proud. Well, that's awesome. And I guarantee you're making him proud. Oh, I'm sure you are. Nicole, what key points would you like listeners to take from the interview?
I think I summed that up earlier. Just send your PIOs to training. They need it, and we're offering it. And it's free. And if you come to EMI, there's more perks. So I do encourage the classroom deliveries, virtual. I only have one on the schedule right now, which is in September, and it's almost full. But yeah, just train your PIOs. And I promise you, I've heard it since I've taken over the program. And I'm not trying to boast, but FEMA's APIO program is, and I've heard, one of the best in the country. And it's not me saying that. That is, you know, testimonies from past students.
Yep. So I hear that all the time from past students all the time. How can people best reach out to you if they want to connect or follow up?
Email is the best way to reach me. My email address is Nicole, Nicole.Schutz, Schutts, at FEMA.DHS.gov. And if people want more information on EMI training or the PIO programs or upcoming training opportunities and things like that, it's training.FEMA.gov. It's like one-stop shopping. It's all there. You can find our course schedules, all the different emergency management courses, because we have, you know, a load. I could spend hours talking about all the courses that we have available. So yeah, one-stop shopping, training.FEMA.gov.
I will add all that into the show notes so people have the link and they'll be able to just connect to it. So don't worry about that. That's excellent. Nicole, thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. Mark said you were a pistol, and he was exactly right.
I'll take that as a compliment. No, thank you so much for allowing me to come on here and just talk about the PIO and how vital it is to have PIOs in your agency.
Thank you for coming on the show.
That was Nicole Schutz, Public Information Manager for FEMA's Public Information Officer Program. That's all for this week. We hope you enjoyed this episode. On next week's episode of the PIO Podcast, we have Catherine Plevy, Public Information Officer for the Tacoma Park Police Department in Tacoma Park, Maryland. Another huge thank you to the Social Media Strategies Summit for being a sponsor of the PIO Podcast. Join their First Responders Summit this April or their Government Summit this May. Learn more about confirmed speakers and programming at socialmediastrategiessummit.com and use promo code PIOPODCAST for 10% off of your registration.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast to get notified of the latest episode. If you are listening on a platform that allows reviews, please give us a review. We appreciate any review, good or bad. It helps us improve on each episode. Until next time, be safe.